Through the years of working with people who have struggled with a narcissist, probably the single biggest question that I get asked is, how in the world did I get hooked up with this person in the first place? Now, it could be that that person is married to someone or has been married to someone who's a narcissist, or they live with someone of that nature. They may be someone in the extended family who has just wreaked havoc with relationships for a long time, or someone that they've worked with, or people in their social circles. But these people asking that question can have the thought, you know, how could I have been so dumb? How could I have not seen it? Well, actually, when they ask that question, of course, there's a lot of agony, and by the time they're asking it, they've been through a lot of painful experiences. They can sometimes be a little too hard on themselves, and one of the things I want to do here today is I want to talk about how a person can be drawn in by the narcissist, not so that we can assess blame, but so that we can have an understanding of what was going on and what has continued as the time has gone by, so that you can make some adjustments from this point forward. Now, before we get into all of that, I would like to make you aware of the fact that we have some resources that are available to you. Right below the video here, you're going to see some links to a couple of my books. One is called When Pleasing You is Killing Me, and another of the books that we have offered is by a partner of mine, Laura Carranza, and it's entitled Ugly Love. She's a survivor of narcissistic relationships, and she tells us in a very clear way how she's learned to deal with things like that. And then we'd invite you also to become a subscriber to our channel so that you can be notified when new videos pop up. Now, let's get back to that question. You know, why can a person get drawn into a narcissistic relationship? Now, the first thing that I want to mention is that many times when a person finds themselves entrenched with that narcissist, they look back and realize that as it was unfolding, they didn't know what they didn't know. Many times, a person only after the relationship has been ongoing for a while and they've experienced a lot of the anger and the manipulation and the defensiveness and the arguing, do they begin to develop an awareness of what narcissism is. So many times, if a person is getting away from a bad relationship like this, then they look back and say, oh, now I see what it is. And many times, particularly if you're a normal person, you don't tend to think about handling things with a narcissist because that's not where your brain operates. You don't think about how you're going to exploit people or how you're going to establish dominance and superiority. So your mind is not acclimated in that direction, whereas the narcissist, they're always on the prowl. And so that gives them a distinct advantage. And then a second thing that we can say is that sometimes when you find yourself with a narcissist, that person may already organically be in your life anyway, and you are just there by default. Many times people will talk about having grown up with a parent who is a narcissist, or maybe there is an extended family member who totally dominated and made life miserable, but that was kind of the family norm. Or it could be that the person you eventually wind up being with in a partnership later in the adult life is someone that you've known for quite some time, or you're in a friendship group, and some people have that narcissistic tendency or the same thing at work, and you just showed up. There you were, and you didn't ask to be put into that situation, but nonetheless, it unfolded, and again, it goes back to sometimes it becomes so much a part of your norm that you don't really see the red flags until it's a little late because you're already drawn in. But then there are some other ingredients that are reasons for why a person can get drawn in, and part of it we're going to put on the narcissist. First of all, one of the defining features of narcissism is the ability to make good impressions. And so that person can start off a relationship by being very charming. Manipulators are, well, actually in healthy relationships, you try to find what common ground you have with somebody else and you engage with one another on that level. But the narcissist does that with an exploitive or a manipulative end to the end game. For example, if they're looking at things about you that they find flattering and they say complimentary things, you're over there thinking, wow, that person's really into me. And they're thinking, this is how I can get in their good graces, and then watch what happens. And so the charm can come in the form of compliments or favored treatment or just lots of smiling. In fact, if anybody is an over-smiler, that tends to be a red flag. But at an emotional level, they can actually pull you in and make you feel like, wow, I'm really glad that I'm in this person's presence. Now, if it's a dating situation, typically the narcissist likes to get sexual pretty quickly, and there's a reason why I suggest to people take your good old sweet time with respect to that, because once that begins to happen, then the objectivity is lost. But the charming side of that narcissist is like, no, I like bringing you in so that you can feel like you have something really special and unique with me. But that can be a red flag. A fourth reason why you can get drawn in, and this can be on you, and that is perhaps you like being in the role of the caregiver. You like being the kind person and the considerate person and the friendly one and the one who goes the extra mile. In fact, you think, yeah, that's the way life ought to be. Well, actually, in a healthy world, that really is a good way to approach things, and you wind up being a successful relator, assuming that the person on the receiving end of your goodness knows what to do with it and can reciprocate in kind. But going back to the you don't know what you don't know yet, you can be in that caregiving and serving and kind and friendly state of mind, and that narcissist is over there thinking, oh, I'm just going to let you so pull in on that, and I'm going to let you be all sorts of nice to me, because the deeper you go into that, then that becomes part of your commitment. And they're just going to let that commitment level grow, and only later do you find out what's in store for you. Well, another ingredient that can be on you, and this is a fifth characteristic, is it could be that along with that caregiving kind of tendency, you may have been in an emotionally hungry place when you first began engaging in a full way with the narcissist. There may have been some sort of reason in your life that you were thinking, I really need somebody that's going to be there for me. I need someone that's going to champion my cause. Or I've been rejected. Now it feels so good to have somebody come along that thinks I'm really neat, or they like my ideas, or that they're into me. And so it could be that there's either some hurt that you are sitting on, or some hidden insecurity, or a lack of confidence, or just a general sense of emotional neediness. And you wind up becoming prey to someone who's looking for something exactly like that. In fact, frankly, narcissists tend to have some special radar for those that they feel like they can dominate. And you're not thinking like that, but they are. And so they like feeling like they can be the superior one. And often it can come through in the one that says, well, I'm here to affirm you. I'm here to give you what you're wanting. But then the rest of the story is, and eventually you're going to find out that you're now beholden to me. But that's, again, part of their hidden agenda. And then a sixth reason that you can get drawn into the narcissist is that often the narcissist begins a relationship offering a lot of fun and pleasure and friendliness. And so they can take it all sorts of nice places, and they can just make you feel like, man, no doldrums here for me. We're going to just do some good things. So there can, if it's a dating situation, it can be wining and dining, or if it's a friendship or a business situation, they can just kind of be the kind of person that just makes life light and easy when you're around them. And so their message is, hey, hang with me and you're going to see some real pleasant kind of stuff. That's what I do. But then again, part of it is they're eventually going to take it to their own exploitive end. And then finally, a seventh reason we can say that you can be drawn in is that there are times when the narcissist is not as overpowering and controlling in the early stages of a relationship as they wind up being later on. And then sometimes life events cause that narcissistic person to increase what may have been more latent or hidden. As an example, let's suppose that you have a person that came from pretty humble means in their background, and in their 20s and 30s, they seem to be pretty normal, but then some good positive things come to them, and they get promotions, or they wind up having more money, or they have more acclaim, and then they start getting the big head thinking, yeah, I am really special, aren't I? Or it could be the exact opposite. It could be that as a person ages and life catches up with them, that there's been some disappointments and some hurts, and it's like, nobody does me this way. And so their anger can well up on the inside. And so it's like, nobody is ever going to take advantage of me. And so they go deeper into a power and control kind of mindset. But what I'm saying is, as time goes by, the narcissist can actually have a deepening reason to, in their mind, to take on that dominant kind of position. So, having said all of this, let's take a look at a few things that we can look at or adjust in so that you don't get so drawn in that this becomes a permanent problem for you. And let's keep in mind, just because you're in a relationship with a narcissist doesn't mean you're a dumb person, or it doesn't mean that you're a flunky. It just means, again, you didn't know exactly what you were getting into. But the first thing I want you to encourage within yourself is be very slow or patient as the narcissist comes at you with a lot of persuasion. You know, that persuasion is part of their control mentality. And one of the things you'll need to do is give yourself permission to say, I know that that's important to you, but I've got some other things I've got to consider, and patiently consider who you are and what you need. And that leads to a second kind of adjustment, and that is stay away from their predictable all or nothing thinking. Because as they're trying to bring you into their way of thinking, or they're trying to bring you under their dominance, they're going to have a lot of, you'd better do this and you can't do that, and it's very black and white, and then you're going to be a terrible person if you don't do what I say. So they're very absolute in the way that they speak, so you don't have to get pulled into their absolute mindset. And then a very important thing, and this is something for you to consider very carefully, you'll need to go back to your own personal basics. Remind yourself what your own core values are and what your core stipulations or principles are that you like to live your life by. And if the narcissist is trying to pull you into that individual's way of thinking and being, you're under no obligation to do so if it runs contradictory to what you feel and what you believe to be wisest and correct. And then another primary thing that you want to do is you're trying to break free from this grip. Make sure that you listen to the input from other people. Or even, I'll take it a little further, solicit input from other individuals. I can't tell you how many times when I've had folks say, well, you know, there were red flags and some people were trying to talk with me about it, but I just wasn't paying attention back then. Well, you needed to. And there might be times when you can recall somebody saying, I'm not sure that this is a wise thing, or I've noticed thus and such about that person, and you kind of made excuses and kind of sloughed it off when in fact you were actually playing into the narcissist's need to exploit you. Make sure you give plenty of attention to others' input. And then finally, practice assertiveness. As you have that sense of knowing who that person is and knowing that there perhaps is a false foundation to the relationship, and as you realize that there are other principles that you had neglected that you need to build upon, stand firmly on who you are and let it be known. This is who I am. This is what I believe. These are my convictions. And when they come back and say you're an idiot, let them know you can think anything you want, but I'm going to go ahead and stand on my firmness and conviction anyway. And the bottom line is the narcissist doesn't have to totally dominate who you are. You can operate based on your own self-directive. So as you're thinking about making adjustments, understand that it's most necessary for you to know who you are and what you want. And then you get to ask the question, now that you have a greater sense of awareness and understanding, how do I need to adjust when I'm dealing with that person who's trying to reel me in?